All right, so we're going to continue and we're going to get back into Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as we have this summer. This morning we're going to talk about treasure. So really, as we were singing those songs at the beginning of the service, I was like, wow, these really fit well with the idea of treasure, you know, and especially the treasure that matters, where we're, when we were singing, you know, your name, about Jesus, you know. And so we're going to be talking about treasure, and being from Minden and the good pirates we are, we want to talk about treasure anyway, right? No? I'm getting a shaking head, so never mind. I'll ditch that angle and we'll just keep going. So, okay, maybe not quite that much, but let's wrap our head around treasure for a bit. What is treasure? I mean, what makes treasure treasure? Has value to you, okay? Or to me. I got you. You love it. Yeah. Okay. What else? Anything else that makes treasure treasure? Memories? Yeah. I was thinking special, you know, valuable and something you love, something that's special, something, you know, that just means something more. It's important. So what kind of things can be treasure? Garage sales, right? Yeah. Yeah, one man's treasure is another man, or, you know, the other way around, right? But yeah, okay. What else? Kids? Money? Yeah. I mean, say it. Say it for what it is, right? Yeah. What else can be treasure? Love? I mean, this is one of those things where, name it. And anything can be treasure, especially, you know, to some folks, right? Stuff, family, friends, people in general. Time. Oh, yeah. That's one I didn't have wrote down. Yeah, time is very valuable to us many times. I was thinking, you know, people can be a treasure, right? You know, or you hear like, this guy is like a national treasure, or, you know, or especially, well, right now, what? They're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, right? And stuff like that. And so it makes you think of Neil Armstrong and those guys and, you know, the national treasures that they are. And you know, so, yeah, it can be people. It can be events like that. But yeah, you name it. It can be, you know, power, wealth, status. History can be a treasure too. I think people take that for granted, that history can be a treasure. Adventure, future can be a treasure. Just about anything can. And our scripture from Jesus' sermon deals with treasure. So then once we dig into his words here and into what he has to say about that subject and what treasure is to him, what treasure is to the world, I should say, what the world considers treasure, what Jesus considers treasure, and therefore what we should consider treasure, and how that applies to us. I hope that's where we can kind of dig into this morning and get an idea of what he's talking about. And then not only that, but how it affects us and how it affects others. So our scripture this morning is Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. And this is Jesus speaking. Remember, this is his sermon. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I think I got it. Yeah. "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters." Did I skip one? I did skip one, right? No, I didn't. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." There's Jesus' sermon on treasure. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Now, as in weeks past, I want to ask this question. What is Jesus not saying in this? Okay. He's not saying that treasure is bad. He's not saying that money is bad. Why is it important for us to ask this question? Especially like as we're going through all the stuff that Jesus... Why is it important to say, what is he not saying? Okay. What else? It's a great... Mm-hmm. That's what we have to try and figure out. So hopefully that's what we're going to try and dig into this morning. Now, one of the things, one of the dangers of dwelling on what he's not saying or think, you know, implying what he is saying, even though he's not saying it, is that we run into one of those dangers of adding to and subtracting from God's word, right? We want to take God's word for exactly what it is. Revelation is a great example for that. It's one of those things is God says, don't add to my commandments or my word. Don't take from them. So that's where we want to try and be as conscious as possible of not doing that. But then the second one is if we dwell on what is not being said, it gets in the way and confuses us of the exact thing that he is saying. So yeah, he's not saying that money is bad, treasure is bad. Jesus always has more under the surface than what's on the surface. So why would Jesus tell us not to store up treasures on earth? Well, they're temporary. Like everything else on earth, even the earth is temporary. You guys realize that, right? I mean, we have tons of scripture that tells us so. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. This is Jesus talking. Revelation 21:1-2 says, then, and this is John putting out what he saw. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Quick side note. I just heard a sermon this week about exactly that prepared as a bride for her husband. It's one of those things. What is the church called in the scripture many, many times? Bride of Christ, right? Yeah, right. And so when they talk about this being adorned for her husband, what kind of images do you guys get when you think of, whenever you hear something like that, you know, the bride adorned for her husband? I'm talking about a person now, yeah. What's that? Fancy dress, yeah. White. Okay. Tim Keller, when he put it out here like this, he says, see if I can do this justice. He goes, no matter what that woman really looks like, is the way he put it. And then, yeah, he says, on that day, you know, especially, he says one of the words you use, ravishing, or, you know, adorn, and it's multicultural. It's all over the world that is this way. Because that's that special day, and that's that presentation, and that's what he's talking about here. Prepared as a bride, adorned, you know, that's the new earth, but that's the way that the church is supposed to be too. Adorned for, you know, our husband, the church's husband, Jesus. Ravishing, awesome, pure, virtuous. This kind of thing, right? So when you read this, I want you to picture that. Picture a woman on her wedding day, you know. I mean, one of the things also that he mentioned was, says there's something that few people actually get to see in weddings. And it's the standing up here, like the talking about the groom and the best man, that get to see the bride coming down, you know, the full on. And the only people that really get to see that more than them are the ministers. And it's like one of those special moments and stuff. And he's talking about that how they're adorned and how special that moment is. So that's a treasure. And we're to be a treasure to God. and the way we present ourselves to Him and go about things like that. The last one I have for you on this is Psalm 102. It's verses 25 and 27. And it's actually quoted in Hebrews 1, by the way, too. And he says, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." So the idea, I mean, we're talking Psalms, we're talking Matthew, we're talking Revelation. It would seem that the idea that our earthly sanctuary here, being only temporary, isn't, I mean, it's kind of an old notion. And yet, it's something that we treasure. But it's temporary. Money is ours only as long as we can hang on to it. And it seems the longer we hang on to it, the less value it has sometimes, right? Either there's this thing called inflation and now my money isn't, my dollar isn't worth as much as it was when I first put that money in my pocket. Or my tastes grow and now the things that I like cost me more than the stuff that it used to. You know, so that money is just... A, it's temporary. Once we spend it, it's gone. And we tend to blow it on, not many times we blow it on stuff that, well, has value in the moment. We might make a memory, but it's not something that we can keep that's tangible. So it's still temporary. Excuse me. Other things that seem to mean so much to us earlier in life also they might become less desirable or possibly less needed. You know, fancy cars, flashy jewelry, all this kind of stuff. This is, how about a ginormous home with all the bells and whistles? You know, sometimes that, the man caves, the she sheds, and all this stuff, as we get older, sometimes that stuff has less and less importance as well. So treasure is temporary. Earthly treasure, at least put it that way, is temporary. They're going to deteriorate. They're going to fall apart. They're going to lose value. And some, as it says in our scripture this morning, some will come and try to take it from you, and some will succeed. So it's temporary. And there's nothing you can do to change that. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to say in some of this. He's like, why try to hang on to it since it is temporary? It's okay to enjoy these things, Jesus, but why try to hang on to it? You know, don't focus on treasures that can wither and die, that can rust. Even gold is said, you know, that can rust and rot away. Because he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The challenge here is for us to really look deep inside. What are those things that matter most to me? What are the things that I treasure above all else? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves. And then we ask this question, where does Jesus fall in that list of treasures? Where does He fall in this list? Where does following Him, trusting Him, pointing Him to others, or pointing others to Him, let's rewind that, fall into this list of things? If you're putting kingdom things on hold while you prepare for your future, how does that affect whether or not you're trusting Him to provide? And this is one that I kind of struggle with, actually, because, you know, especially in this day and age, most of us are putting away stuff for our future because, you know, I'm sure like most of you or some of you, I'm looking around the room and this might... I might want to stop working someday, I guess is what I'm getting at here. Or at least working so much. You know, I know that you may not ever stop working, but you know. And so we have these plans. So we provide for our future and for our families. So it's one of those things where are we in conflict with what Jesus is talking about when we do that kind of stuff? Well, if you're doing that over and above everything else and kingdom stuff withers away while you're providing for your future, yes, you're totally guilty of that. We are totally guilty of it, if that's what we're doing. You know, because the more I put away for later, the more You know, the less I give to the kingdom now, the more I'll have later for me. Yes, that is the kind of stuff that Jesus is talking about, totally. There's a balance in life. But he has to come out on the heavy side of the balance. How about spending quality time with friends and family? Building and making memories. Seeking comfort and relaxation, taking it easy kind of stuff, right? And forgoing spending time with God and his family. Because that's treasure. These are times, you said time was treasure, family was treasure, people are treasure. This is the kind of treasure that Jesus is talking about as well. He says, treasure your time with me and my family as well. I like this one. Matthew 13:44, when he's talking about treasure, this is Jesus speaking again. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That's the entire parable. Short, succinct, Jesus nailed it, right? This is what he's talking about. He says, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like, where you give up everything to be part of it and just step into it, enjoy it, and savor it, and that's your treasure. This is the treasure that he's talking about when he says, you know, don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. Get rid of things. He says, man, sells all he has. But what he's saying is get rid of the things that are getting in your way of that relationship and that treasure of Jesus and his family. Jesus is saying that finding the true meaning of the kingdom of heaven is treasure, and one that is worth giving up other things in our lives to make sure that we get. Not only is it worth giving up other things, it's expected. He expects us to give up things so that we can have this treasure of the kingdom of heaven. What are we asked to give up? We're asked to give up our old ways. That's what repentance is all about. You're turning away from the old self. You're turning away from the person that we were to the person that he wants us to be and the person that we are. So yeah, there's sacrifices that we have to make. But he says that treasure is totally worth giving up everything, especially things that get in the way of receiving the kingdom and its treasure. Remember, where your heart is where your treasure is. What's on your heart the most, foremost, is where your treasure is. What we dwell on. That's basically what Jesus is talking about when he talks about your eye being the lamp of the body. There are people who you can look right in the eye, right? And there's just this something about them. There's this light, right? You can see this in some people where you just look at them and you see this light inside them. And maybe you can think of somebody like that right off the bat. And I know it's me. No, but you can see people like this. And it's just, they have this glow to them. And that there's that healthy, no matter what's going on in their lives, there's that healthy light that's still kind of just shining in their lives. The eye is the lamp of the soul, of the body, of it's where things are. And if your eye is blinded, not bringing in any light, full of darkness, you can see that too. You can totally see that in some folks. As I was preparing this message, one of the commentaries I was reading, actually, you know, with that darkness in your eye, they use the word miserly or miser. You know, and then the only, just like that, Ebenezer Scrooge popped into my head. So this is your little miniature Christmas in July part of my message, okay? Because, and I don't think we're going to have to worry about any spoilers, right? Everybody has seen this thing or whatever, okay? So, Scrooge, at the beginning of the Christmas Carol story. How would you describe Ebenezer Scrooge? That's why it just popped right in, right? Okay, miserly. What else? How else would you describe good old Scrooge? Greedy, stingy? Grumpy? Grumpy, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. What else? I think penny pinchers and none for you. Like when the guys come asking for money for the orphanage, says no, because if I give you some, then I won't have it. And then there's poor old Cratchit, right? He wouldn't even splurge to give him another lump of coal to keep him warm while he's doing his book work. And then there's the comment of, well, you know, I suppose you're going to want tomorrow off work, right? Being Christmas Day and all. And I suppose you're going to want paid for it. You know, there's this accusation. Notice that Cratchit didn't ask for these things. He's, I suppose you're going to want these things. And miserly. I mean, Scrooge, his name is an adjective for people now, right? What about the end of the story? Where is Scrooge's treasure at the beginning of the story? It's in his money, it's in his wealth, it's in his power, it's in his control. Where is his treasure at the end of the story? Huh? In heaven? His treasure is not of this world, definitely, right? Because he's given it away. It's got to do with the happiness of others. It's got to do with taking care of others, making sure they're fed, making sure those orphans get a little bit of money, or maybe a lot of bit of money now. The big old turkey that goes to the Cratchits. But whatever, that change of heart. If you looked him right in the eye at the beginning of the story, you could probably tell what kind of guy he was. What kind of, do you think you could tell what kind of guy he was at the end of the story then too, with that change of heart? When you watch these movies and show, it's like, what's different about you? What, you know, you're not the guy that you were yesterday. Yeah, his treasure is not stored up here on heaven, here on earth. And it's not about money anymore. I mean, if you describe him at the end of the story, he's giddy, giving, caring. Remember, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other, which sounds the same to me. Jesus is just repeating himself so that we get it through our heads. You cannot serve God and money. Anybody know what other word is often used right there instead of money? Mammon, yeah, right. Mammon, the idea of mammon, it's not just money. It's got this idea of treasure, and it's got this idea of riches, but then it's often used where it's talking about riches that are opposed to God's will or God's meaning, or, you know, it's riches that you trust on or trust in instead of God is what he's talking about here. And that's why we need to dig just a little bit. So who or what are we supposed to trust in? God. Over and over again we see it. In your name I put trust. This is your name, put their trust in you. Those who know your name put their trust in you. Or, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. Or, you know, I love 20 verse 7. This is Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord God, Lord our God. Psalm 56:3 is about as simple as you can get. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. So now we're going the other way around. It says, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And the beginning of Proverbs says, what is the beginning of wisdom? Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Trusting in God. Daniel, this is a great one right here. Daniel 6:23 says, when then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no harm was found on him because he had trusted in God. I skipped John 14. I'll probably use that next week because that's what we're going to talk about next week. Revelation 21:5 says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Trust, 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 trust. All these trust comments have to do with trusting God. So again, I ask, to who does our whom? How, which, who deserves our trust? God. Let's pray on that. Father, we thank you so much for being you, and that we can trust in you and rely on you and focus on you, and help us remember that you are our greatest treasure. All these blessings that you give us, all these ways that you take care of us, those are treasures as well, but they come from you, and help us focus on that and keep you centered and focused in our lives. Help us have that light in our eyes that people can see, and see you dwelling among us, dwelling within us, with that spirit that you put in us. That even when times are tough, they can see that spark that we have. Because we trust in you and we rely on you. If we have any mammon in our lives that is getting in the way, these riches or things that are interfering with our relationship with you, help us get rid of them, that we can focus on that treasure that is being built up in heaven, your treasure, and that we can dwell in that in our lives and feed off of that as motivation and encouragement to give to others. To give to others that hope, that trust, and that reliance that we have in you, that they may have it as well. So, Father, we ask your help in this. We ask that you lead us and guide us in this and show us your path, show us your ways. And we thank you for that most amazing treasure, that treasure of your Son and that salvation that we can have just by asking that for that forgiveness and taking that free gift. Because of what he did for us in providing that salvation, providing that saving grace, and that way to have that relationship with you. It's all about treasure because it's all about you. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you, and we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.